Chapter 10.
Listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't. You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Obi-Wan stepped hesitantly into the abandoned room he and John had been using to meet up at the bottom of the temple, bundling his nervousness away in the back of his mind. The room was empty. The flash of hurt he felt made him flinch before he hissed at himself in anger. Of course, John wouldn't want to come meet with him again, since Obi-Wan made the foolish, stupid mistake he had the other night. He always ended up driving others away. His master still wasn't talking to him, and he knew better than to message any of his friends while they were on missions out of the temple. He scuffed his boot against the floor, watching listlessly as some dust trundled across the stone from the movement. Fighting back a shiver, Obi-Wan stumbled over to the corner of the room where the two of them had stashed some pillows and blankets, sliding down into the nest with a stifled sob. Against his will, tears began to run down his cheeks, and another sob built in his chest. Feeling wretched, Obi-Wan curled up, wrapping his arms around his shins and shoving his face into his knees. They were sharper than they had been, and he knew it was because he was doing too much with too little food and rest. But grief rests for no one. His cries echoed slightly in the small room, muffled by the pile of rubble in one corner and the blankets. Thankfully, he could not hear any echoes down the long hallway. He learned to cry quietly years ago. Eventually, the swell of emotion and grief that had crashed over him smoothed over with exhaustion, and Obi-Wan let himself tilt over into the blankets. A rock dug uncomfortably into his side, but he made no move to remove it. He deserved the discomfort. Before he was even aware of it, he slipped into sleep. Sharp pain streaked through his side as he twisted to avoid a blaster bolt. Master Qui-Gon was leaping forward into the tunnel, lightsaber flashing as he struck down the gunner in front of them. Obi-Wan followed his master in their mad rush further into the tunnel system, the sound of roaring water drowning their footsteps. A dull thud caused the ground to tremble beneath their feet, and Obi-Wan was not quick enough to dodge the shrapnel from the blast to their side. He fell with a cry, and Master Qui-Gon turned back to him, conflict clear on his face and through their bond. Master Tall could only last so long. The sight of his master's long robes disappearing into the darkened tunnel made him grit his teeth against the pain. He could feel his leggings growing damp with blood, and he shivered as a breeze washed through the tunnel. Going into shock was never fun. Obi-Wan pushed himself onto his elbows, grunting as rubble slid off him. Looking down, he saw a deep gash cut into his thigh, sluggishly oozing blood. Already, the front of his leggings were soaked. He reached around and ripped one tabard off, shoving it under his thigh and twisting it as tight as he could to slow the bleeding. Every time he moved, pain was a sharp reminder of his failure. A touch of the Force made the binding even tighter, and a flare down his training bond made him jerk his head up. Master Qui-Gon needed his help. With that in mind, Obi-Wan dimmed their bond and forced himself to his feet. Catching himself against the nearest wall, he gasped for breath against the searing pain, sweat dripping down his forehead. When he could finally see again, Obi-Wan began to make his way down the corridor, using their bond to find the correct path. He had no recollection of his journey through the tunnels. Obi-Wan became aware again the moment there was a surge of grief, rage, hate through the bond, strong enough to bring him to his knees, before their connection was almost severed. He levered himself back up to his feet and continued on. The screaming was the first thing to reach his ears. The second was the dull sound of grinding bone and the wet gurgling of someone drowning in their own blood. When Obi-Wan stumbled into the cavern, he looked into his master's eyes with horror. Lightsaber buried deep into Balog's chest, Master Qui-Gon stared back at him, eyes amber-hued and glowing. Darkness curled over their bond, and the anger peaked when Master Qui-Gon removed his lightsaber and let the body drop with a sickening crunch. Obi-Wan was pushed back into the wall, and he gasped as his injury was jarred. Master Qui-Gon stalked towards him, hatred in his eyes. As Obi-Wan watched, blood soaked its way through his master's robe sleeves and dripped from his hair. He blinked, and the gleaming blue of his lightsaber had shifted to a dark red, the amber glow from his master's eyes even brighter now in the darkened room. "You caused this!" He sobbed as Master Qui-Gon stopped just outside of arm's reach, a snarl on the man's face, lightsaber hilt creaking with the force of his grip. "You stupid little shit, you slowed me down, and now she's dead!" At the sound, the red blade streaked towards him, but he flinched back, eyes squeezed shut against the blow. But no blow ever came. Warily, Obi-Wan opened his eyes and promptly wished he had never done so at all. Lying before him in a healing bed was Master Tall, ashen-skinned, her eyes dull and lifeless. Master Qui-Gon sat next to her bed, cradling her limp hand in one of his own, tears streaming down his face. Slowly, Master Qui-Gon looked up at him. There was no sense of recognition on his face, nor any in their bond, and Obi-Wan fell back a step as he felt their bond begin to unravel. Master Qui-Gon looked back to Tall and reached out to brush dark hair out of her face. At his touch, her face tilted to the side, a thin stream of blood trickling out from her nose, and another quickly following from the corner of her mouth. Hands gentle, he folded her arms over her stomach and wiped the blood from her mouth. Obi-Wan could only watch in shock and horror as Master Qui-Gon reached into the folds of his robes and pulled out his lightsaber and looked at it for a long moment before his master looked up at him with a blank face. His scream was silent, but the snap hiss of lightsaber ignition was not, as the blade buried itself into Master Qui-Gon's chest. Their bond snapped as his master smiled at him and said, "Isn't this what you wanted, Padawan?" The next thing Obi-Wan knew, he was cradling his master's head in his lap, sobbing as a gentle hand came up to brush a tear away. He blinked, and he was kneeling in dirt, the front of his robes covered in blood, his hands slick. The pain in his chest was almost enough to make him black out, but he looked up and saw a pile of broken bodies. Small figures twisted and warped by the power of the explosion that had ripped away the foundation of the building. Blank eyes of children stared at him from where their heads lolled, necks broken, blood pouring out onto the stone. The emptiness in the force dragged him away again. Another crumpled figure on stone. Stiffly, Obi-Wan approached the shape and knelt down. He reached out to roll the figure over, pausing briefly at the sight of blood dripping off his fingers, staining the beige robes beneath him as he watched. A horrid sense of foreboding built in his throat as Obi-Wan set his hands on the person and rolled them over. Sharp blue eyes, no longer sparkling in quiet mirth, are just as still as the small chest under his hands. Obi-Wan crumpled over the still form of John, clutching at fabric and desperately wishing for that chest to rise under his head. He did not know how long it took for him to be able to sit up enough to look John in the face, guilt and anger and hatred twisting around inside his chest. John smiled at him, face peaceful as he blinked. "Wake up, Obi-Wan!" The frantic tone of voice caught him off guard, and he shook his head. "You need to wake up. Please wake up." The words were so similar to what Master Qui-Gon said over Master Tall's deathbed that Obi-Wan couldn't hold back another screaming sob. Cold hands gripped him by the shoulders, the little body beneath him moving only enough to shake him violently. Obi-Wan woke up screaming, tears already streaming down his face. He barely registered the hands on him and the shaky voice speaking, too busy choking on the feeling of pain, guilt, grief, hovering around him like a cloud in the Force. Small arms wrapped around his shoulders and pulled him against a warm body. The only thing he could do was sob, all too aware of the fabric under his cheek growing damp with his tears. The realization that John was the one holding him only served to make him cry harder. When he finally felt as if he could sit on his own, Obi-Wan pulled slowly out of John's grip. Hands tightened in his tunic as he paused before settling on the ground in front of him. Raising a shaky hand, he wiped at his eyes, warmed the touch and puffy, his head and throat aching as he let out another small, coughing sob. He could not bring himself to look at John, and instead settled for sitting in his abject misery, the grief and self-hatred of his dreams still curling in his mind. John was dithering, and he knew it. Dark Woman would have had his head if he had ever hesitated this much meeting her for training. Those bruises had lasted weeks. But he was scared to go and see Obi-Wan after he had broken down like he had the other night over a simple request. A small part of him curled up in shame, and he looked down at the blanket he was twisting around in his hands, biting his lip. Obi-Wan was kind to him, but John knew everyone had their limits to what they would accept, and crying like he had, panicking over the lesson, was a clear sign he was weak, just like Dark Woman had said. He would never be enough. Even when he had expected to be shoved away, Obi-Wan had only held him. He hadn't been hit for crying like when he was still with Dark Woman. No one in the temple had hit him yet, but there was still time. John didn't know how to trust anyone in the temple anymore, not truly, not after what Obi-Wan had told him. But Obi-Wan had always been kind to him, and he never felt unsafe around him. Unsure, sometimes, but not in the way of whether he was unsure if Obi-Wan was going to hurt him or not. John curled in on himself. Here he was, trying to decide if he could go see Obi-Wan or not, when the other Padawan had always been genuine with him. It took him a few moments to realize that the overwhelming feeling of guilt was not entirely his. Frowning, John focused. The guilt strengthened enough to leave him gasping on his bed, and he shot upright when he realized it was Obi-Wan. The Force pushed at him restlessly. As quietly as he could, John flung himself out of his bed and into the nearest shadow, appearing in the corner of the room he and Obi-Wan had claimed in the underground levels. The feeling of guilt and grief became stifling the moment he stepped into the room, and he stumbled back. John gritted his teeth at the pain in his head and forced himself through the steps Dark Woman had taught him, in allowing his body to become a conduit for the Force. Slowly, as he siphoned out the suffering in the room, it became bearable enough for him to focus on the room. Lying down in a sweaty tangle of blankets, Obi-Wan was writhing, tears streaming down his face, hands clawing at his chest and throat. A stifled scream broke past his lips, and John froze in shock for one moment before throwing himself forward. His knees banged painfully against the stone as he tore Obi-Wan's hands away from his throat, skin bleeding where he had clawed at it. The moment he touched skin, hatred joined the swirling maelstrom of emotion in the room, and John blinked back tears of his own. Obi-Wan! He got no response aside from Obi-Wan struggling against his grip, and he let go, only to grab the other boy by the shoulders and shake him. Obi-Wan, wake up! Blue eyes rimmed with red snapped open, but John knew that Obi-Wan wasn't completely aware of where he was when he sobbed again. John pulled Obi-Wan against him, trying as best he could to wrap his arms around him, cursing the fact that he was still so small. At that, Obi-Wan sobbed into his shoulder, clinging to him and shaking with the force of his cries. John did the best he could to ease the tension in the room, but there was just so much of it. He was still uncomfortable with touching others, so used to touch only being followed by pain. Instead of allowing the choking atmosphere in the Force to distract him, John curled his limbs around Obi-Wan, wishing that he could soothe his friend's suffering as easily as he could heal physical wounds. When Obi-Wan suddenly pushed himself up, John clung to him in a panic, the both of them freezing. Slowly, Obi-Wan settled back against the wall, and when it was clear he wasn't leaving, John loosened his grip, kneeling in front of him. The other Padawan felt terrible in the Force. Worry bubbled up in him when Obi-Wan refused to meet his eyes, instead staring down at his lap, not moving except to wipe at his face with one hand. John swallowed against his dry throat. He didn't want to push Obi-Wan, but the air around them still quivered with the emotions of his nightmare, laced with a self-loathing John was all too familiar with. He never thought Obi-Wan would feel the same way about failure that he did. Hesitantly, John reached out, unsure if touch would be welcome, listening to Obi-Wan sniffle quietly in the room. "Obi-Wan?" His whisper cracked in the middle, but John didn't care when his voice made the heavy atmosphere of the room lessen just a little bit. Another sniffle. From here, John could see the way Obi-Wan's lips trembled and the way another tear fell down his face. After his own breakdown, John had liked it when Obi-Wan had touched him. It had been a physical reminder that he wasn't alone, that he was with someone safe. Biting his lip, John settled a hand over Obi-Wan's, feeling the minute flinch before Obi-Wan was grabbing at him with desperation. As he laced their fingers together, John shuffled closer, leaning against Obi-Wan's side, pressing their arms together. They sat there for several long moments, until Obi-Wan's breathing matched John's, except for the occasional hitch in his chest. John's hand was warm in Obi-Wan's. Obi-Wan let out a heavy sigh, squeezing John's hand. "Hi, John." John winced at how awful Obi-Wan's voice sounded, scratchy and rough. It made John want to push cups of tea at him until he felt better. He whispered back, "Hi, Obi-Wan." Obi-Wan went to say something again, but paused to clear his throat, wincing in pain. He was about to tell Obi-Wan he didn't have to continue, they could talk about it later, when Obi-Wan pushed past it. I'm sorry. John blinked, nose scrunching up in confusion. About what? Obi-Wan shrugged. Letting my emotions get the best of me, I know better than that. He turned his head away from John. I'll do better next time. Almost stunned, John could only stare at his friend. After a moment of silence and Obi-Wan growing tenser next to him, he knew he had to say something. He blurted out, "Why are you apologizing about having a nightmare?" Wincing at himself, John opened his mouth to apologize when Obi-Wan chuckled quietly. Obi-Wan rolled his head back to rest against the wall, finally opening his eyes to stare listlessly at the ceiling above them. His jaw worked for a moment. "Because of my lack of control," he started, fingers flexing against John's. "It allowed my nightmare to breach past my shields. It won't happen again." I don't understand. Obi-Wan turned to him with a confused frown on his face. He didn't understand. John had no idea what Obi-Wan was talking about. The older Padawan was an example of control compared to their peers. Nothing slipped past his shields, and he was leagues ahead of anyone else in lightsaber combat. And John knew that Obi-Wan was already being placed in the advanced diplomacy classes, so what was he talking about? "What lack of control? You have excellent control, Obi-Wan. The masters say I don't control my emotions enough." Obi-Wan flushed after his interruption, but continued when John didn't do anything but stare at him. "Ever since the creche, I've been told to control my emotions because I'm the strongest projector of my generation. I didn't get chosen because I allowed my anger to control me. Masters don't like when you feel too much because it goes against the code." Silence settled over them again as John took in Obi-Wan's words. But you can't help feeling things. Isn't that what makes us Jedi? To be able to feel what others do and to empathize and want to help?" he asked, heart beating strangely fast in his chest. He didn't want to hear the answer, but he needed to know what the temple teachings actually taught. Sighing a breath out his nose, Obi-Wan rubbed his thumb over John's knuckles, uncaring of how the scars made his fingers rough. "It is, but the creche masters always told me to be quiet, because when I felt things, I was always too loud in the Force and gave everyone headaches. I was taught to shield early because of it. Being angry always used to make shielding harder." Obi-Wan sighed again, shoulders sagging. John pressed closer to him in an attempt at comfort. He thought it was successful when Obi-Wan leaned against him. "Masters think that anger leads to the dark side, so they see angry initiates as troublesome and choose others. We aren't encouraged not to feel, just less." It sounded more like Obi-Wan was the one taught to feel less. Hesitantly, unsure if Obi-Wan would appreciate a distraction, John asked quietly, "So, how did you keep people from noticing?" Obi-Wan laughed. It was not a nice laugh. Staring down at his hands, Obi-Wan's face scrunched up in a sneer. There is no emotion, there is peace. He huffed out another laugh. It's easy to hide everything, to hide emotion from everyone, when you project exactly what they expect from you. Watch. Straightening from his slouch, Obi-Wan schooled his face into a calm look fit to be used in the Senate Dome, and breathed in slowly. The roiling emotion leaking from him in the Force dissipated at once, and John frowned. At Obi-Wan's nod, John prodded at his friend in the Force, feeling at the edges of his shielding, and getting nothing but the impression of a still lake, complete with a wash of serenity and calm patience. John looked at Obi-Wan, both eyebrows raised. This time, when Obi-Wan laughed, John could feel a burst of genuine amusement, and something in him relaxed. Obi-Wan slouched down again, his shields loosening enough for some of his anguish to filter into the air around them, but it was less chaotic than before. Biting at his lip, John glanced down at his own hands, worrying the edge of his sleep shirt, not wanting to bother Obi-Wan, clearly still so upset at his dream, but still wanting to ask. It didn't feel right after that. An elbow dug into his side and he jumped, meeting Obi-Wan's gaze with a glare before ducking his head back down. Instead of asking, John leaned against Obi-Wan's side, and he didn't flinch when an arm wrapped around his shoulders. Silence lingered over them in the room. John busied himself with matching his breathing to Obi-Wan's, idly watching a speck of dust float down from the ceiling. Even with the chill in the bottom of the temple, he was warm here, pressed up against his friend. Before coming to the temple, John had never known what it was like to simply just be with someone, to exist without quarrel. Feeling the double beat of Obi-Wan's heart against his ribs, he realized that he was comfortable. He nudged Obi-Wan with the elbow that was wedged between them. "How do you keep your emotions from the bond with your master?" His voice cracked on the last word, and it echoed sharply around them. He fought against the urge to hunch his shoulders. There was a hum above him before calloused fingers closed over his, pulling them away from the frayed edge of his shirt. "Well," Obi-Wan settled their hands on his thigh, "now that is a bit more difficult to explain." End of chapter 10.